Good day. We come to you again with studies in the Gospel through John. Here we have John the Apostle by the Spirit of God giving to us a presentation of our Savior, Jesus Christ, as God manifest in the flesh. We've been dealing with the introduction to the Gospel in the first 14 verses. We had our Lord in his pre-incarnate condition, if I can use that term, where he was with the Father before there ever was a creation. Then we found in verse 3 that our Lord all was the Creator. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then we found in verses 4 and 5, in him is life. In fact, I would say, apart from Jesus Christ, there is no life. Everything is under the sentence of death. Wonderful thing to know that when Christ came, he came that men might have life and have it more abundantly. And then from verses 6 down through verse 11, we have where God sent into this world a witness of the light. Man was in such moral and spiritual darkness that God has to send a witness of the light. My, how dark men's hearts must have been, that God has to send a witness of the light, to let men realize that this man, Jesus, who came into the human race, was God manifested in the flesh. And that he came for the revelation of the heart of God, not only the character of God, but the heart of God to men. Oh, that men would see this. I can only know God through Jesus Christ. It's just what I know of Jesus is what one knows of God. Does God have any interest in you and me? Does he love men and women? Even those who are dead in trespasses and sins, those who are lawless and reckless and sinful, immoral, incorruption, whatever it may be, yes, God still loves you. That's why he allows you to walk on this earth. That's why he allows you to live on his earth, because he wants you to turn to him. He wants you to come to his Son, who has made possible salvation through his work at Calvary's cross, that he shed his blood to redeem you out of all iniquity, that you might be a people for God. God's going to have a people. Whether you believe it or not, my friend, God is going to have a people. You could be one of those who belong to him. So we have in these first few verses, John was a light, was a witness to the light, that all men through him, that is through the light, might be saved, might have life. John was not that light. He just came to bear witness of the light. Just like you and I have today that responsibility, those of us who love the Savior, to reveal to men and women just what God is like. That's why the Spirit of God indwells his people, for the revelation of Jesus Christ to men and to women. Oh, friend, today, I want to tell you very frankly that God means business. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be talking to you today. I wouldn't have given up my work that I was in if it were not for the fact it's true, it's real, that God means business. And God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That God is long-suffering to us, not willing that any man or woman should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What shall God do? In verses 10 and 11. He was in the world was made by him, the world knew him not. The world rejected its creator. Man has no excuse. I don't care where men live. I don't care who men are or what their background or culture may be. God has not left himself without witness. And the world was expected to worship, to revere, to praise their Redeemer, and man refused it. Man preferred his sin to God. And man went on into his darkness, into despair. Why? Because he rejected his Creator. In verse 11, the Jew rejected his Messiah. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, what's God going to do? Now we come to it. The world having rejected its Creator, and the Jew having rejected his Messiah, what will God do? Is God in a dilemma? By no means, by no means. God has a purpose. To as many as received him. And the call goes out to anybody on the face of the earth. I don't care who they are, what their color is, what their language is, what their culture is. God is not dealing today with nations. He's dealing with individuals. There is a time coming when God will deal with nations. He's going to deal in righteousness. He's going to deal in judgment. As Isaiah declares, when thy judgments are in the earth, then men learn righteousness. Oh, friend, individually, you can learn it now. You can know him. Listen to what these marvelous words are. To as many as receive Jesus Christ, to them God gives the authority, the power, the right to become the children of God, to be children of one who is God, even to them that believe on his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but are born of God. What is God's purpose? He's going to bring in an entirely new race of people. You know, I just love this. I just love this. In Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul could say in verses 14 and 15, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. For in Jesus Christ neither being a Jew or a Gentile profits anything, but a new creation. Listen to that verse again, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, see, neither being a Jew or a Gentile profits anything, but a new creation. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul could write, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. In 1 John 3:9-10, let me briefly put those two verses together. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us, and sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to the end of the chapter, what do you find to 21? We have two races of people, and two federal heads. We have Adam the first, the head of a human race, under the sentence of death, dead in trespasses and sins. We have Christ, the head of a new race, in which all are righteous and have eternal life. You see, what is God doing? He's bringing into being a new race of people who are born of God. It's what we find when we come to chapter 3, where Nicodemus, you remember, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, how am I to be born again? You know, James 1:18 says it very, very clearly. Of his own will begat he us by the word of truth. In 1 Peter 1:23-25, we're born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Do you ever stop to think of it, friend? To be born of God. You see, when I was born into the human race, I took upon me the nature of my family. I was born into the Mitchell tribe. I look like my dad. I walk like him. Talk like him, I guess, in some ways. I was born into that family. The only way you'll ever get into a family is by birth. You say, well, Mr. Mitchell, you can adopt people. Yes, but you take their name, you take their family, you become part of the family. Not to angels has he given this wonderful, wonderful privilege, but to you and to me. To as many as received him, I don't care who they are, just to receive the Savior, to them he gives the right, the authority, to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, born of God. Oh, friend, listen. I repeat it, God is doing something new today. He's taking individuals, you, me, sinners, and he cleanses us from sin. He forgives every transgression, makes us the recipients of eternal life. But amazing thing, he puts us in his family. I can say I'm a child of one who is God. That's what Peter means in 2 Peter 1:4 when he says, through these many precious promises, speaking of the word of God, we've been made partakers of the divine nature. You see, born of God. Born of God. We become like the one of whom we are born. Now, that doesn't mean we become deity. No, no, no. When God raised his Son from the dead, Jesus Christ in resurrection became the first one in a new race of people. That's why in Hebrews 2 he could say, I and the children which God hath given me. Or in 1 John 3, Beloved, now are we the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be just like him. We shall see him as he is. Ah, listen, friend. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, We were children of wrath like the rest. At one time, I was a child of wrath. Now, I'm a child of God. What made this transformation? Well, again, Paul says in Colossians 1:13, he translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his blessed Son, given authority to become the children of God. You know, in Romans 8, it says, in verse 14 on through, As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, listen, to be able to look into the face of God and say, Abba, just like the Arab children today, in Israel today, they call their father Abba, Daddy, Father, relationship, he's my father. Do you remember when you and I were kids together and how we used to say to the other kid, Oh, but my daddy, so-and-so. My daddy can do this to you, or your daddy. In other words, we're proud of belonging to the family which your daddy was your father. I tell you, friend, it's an amazing, wonderful thing that you and I can come on the ground of the grace of God and come right into the very presence of an omniscient, holy, sovereign God and say, Abba, Father. You remember when the Lord Jesus was asked by his disciples when they said to him, Teach us to pray. What did he say? What was the very first thing? You say, Our Father, Our Father. That's why he could say in John chapter 20, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. You see, it's the Word of God by the Spirit of God. This is the way God moves. This is the way God operates. It's not by some going through some ceremony. It's not by doing some good work. It's just coming and putting your trust in the Savior. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and makes it a living reality. So we're born again of the Word of God. That's what Paul means in Thessalonians 1:5. He said, Our gospel, our good news came to you, not in word only, but in power. In power, in the Holy Spirit, with much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The wonderful thing, the Spirit of God takes the Word of God, makes it a living reality. To who? To open hearts. To who? To those who trust him. See? To as many as received him. But someone says, Mr. Mitchell, doesn't there some place in the Bible which says we're all the children of God? Where do you find that, my friend? Well, I'll tell you, it's in Galatians 3:26. But why don't you finish the verse? Yes, we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Our Lord could say in John chapter 8 to the Jews of his day, If God were your father, you'd believe me, but you are of your father, the devil, and his works you do. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. There are two families in the earth today. Every one of us are born children of wrath. But when you reject the Savior, you become a child of the devil. If you accept the Savior, you become a child of God. It's just that simple and just that clear. There's no gray matter between it either. Listen to the wonderful words, to as many as received him. Oh, I'm so glad it says to as many. Anybody, receive him. To them he gives the authority, the right to become the children of God. Even to them that believe on his name. And may I just say in that connection, and the time is coming when the whole universe, not just on earth, but the whole universe will know who the sons of God are. Do you know that? Paul could say in Romans 8:29 that God has determined that we shall be conformed to the image of His Son. And we're going to be on exhibition. As Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with Him in glory. Oh, who wouldn't belong to such a family where death doesn't even reign, where death doesn't even cast a shadow? Who are they, those who have put their trust in the Savior? And God's purpose for them is to make them just like His Son. You have this in Philippians chapter 3, you remember, in verse 20 and 21, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also He looks for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change these bodies and fashion them like unto His own glorious body, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, what do you mean by that? The whole plan of redemption belongs to God. Man didn't plan it, and it's not man's will that does it. It's God who has purposed it. And God has made it, shall I say, available to any man or woman. Every one of you hearing my voice this morning or today, whatever the time may be, friend, listen, it's available to you. You can become a child of the living God today. It says, to as many as received Him. That's all. Even to them that believe on His name. You say, well, I wasn't born right. Well, none of us were born right. But you don't know how much I've sinned. I don't care how much you've sinned. God knows how much you've sinned. Listen, friend, doesn't God know all about you? Doesn't He know all about your failures and your sin and your corruption? Doesn't He know all about your rebellion? He knows all about you. Not only what you've done and what you've said, but He knows all about your thoughts. He knows all about your motives. And yet He still loves you. And He's still calling you to receive His Son, Jesus Christ, as your own personal Savior. Remember, friend, you can't hide anything from Him. He knows all about you. He knows everything about you. And even though He knows all about you, He still loves you. Still wants to make you a member of His family. Why don't you come and take it? That's why the Lord Jesus came. You take the very next verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. This is why He came. Oh, listen, friend. Why did Jesus Christ come? Did He come to make men better? What did He come for? Did He come as an example? Did He come as a teacher? Friend, the main reason why He came was twofold. He came, He became a member of the human family, was incarnate, became a man in the midst of men to put away sin. First of all, to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself, to remove the barrier between you and God. And He also came to give us the revelation of the Father. The Word was made flesh. How else could God do it? Would God come in the glory of His power? Men wouldn't be able to stand it. One day Moses said to God in Exodus 33, show me your glory. And God said, I can't do that. Moses, I can't do that. If I were to come in my glory, you couldn't live. You couldn't live. If God were to come with a retinue of angels, with a myriad of angels to man, we'd all go and call for the rocks and the mountains to hide us. Like you have it in Revelation 6 and Isaiah chapter 2. For when Christ does come in His glory, men are going to call for the rocks and the mountains to hide us from the face of Him that cometh in His wrath. No, how precious, how wonderful. What better way could God reveal Himself? He came as a man in the midst of men. He came as a babe in the human family, lived among men, to put away sin. The sinless one was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And He came for the revelation of His Father. Again, I come to you, and I've been saying this, and I'll repeat it over and over again. He came for the revelation of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. He's full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Where did we behold him in his glory on the Mount of Transfiguration? We don't see him in his glory today. We have seen him as the one who died for us, as the one who rose again, the one who is seated on the right hand of the throne of God in glory. But he came as a man in the midst of men. The Word was made flesh, tabernacled among us, the incarnate Son of God, that you might know him. So I repeat it, what is God like? Just like Jesus. And he has made a way into the very presence of God. And you can become a child of God, a member of this new race, by just putting your trust in the Savior, Jesus Christ. Friend, why don't you do that today? Why don't you do that? You say, well, I know nothing about it. You put your trust in the Savior and the Lord will make himself known to you. Only question I ask you, do you mean business? God means business with you. And to as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that put their trust in him. And God grant you'll do it today.